Hi, everybody, and welcome back here for another little bite-sized political podcast from yours truly. Thank you so much for downloading this, and my thanks to quantumhypno.co.uk for also sponsoring me and sponsoring this. That's how this is actually able to be kept going, by the way. So between that and your contributions, that facilitates at least some of the costs of doing all this stuff. So I want to talk to you about the housing crisis, because keep hearing about the housing crisis. And we hear that from Labour, for example, which is going to be the incoming government, Labour are saying they're determined to tackle the housing crisis. Well, I'm going to talk about, I don't think there is a housing crisis. But anyway, what they're going to do is talk about releasing some of the green belt, which is going to be essential to building the homes our country needs. A guy called Matthew Pennycook, Labour's shadow housing minister, who will undoubtedly become the housing minister, saying we cannot meet housing need in England without releasing some greenbelt land for development. And politicians who claim otherwise are simply not being straight with the public. Okay, Matthew Pennycook, let's be straight with the public then, because I'm all for being straight with the public. Why do we have such a housing crisis? What? Simple, David. There's not enough houses for people. Which people are there not enough houses for is the next question. Because, as you know, demographically, our Indigenous English population is below replacement level. White English below replacement population. In fact, it's diving. It's collapsing, such as the low birth rate, the fertility rate. Okay? So what they really mean is that, yes, there's a lot of people wanting houses who weren't born in this country, who have come to this country, in some cases legally, in other cases illegally. They've been allowed to stay here. And funnily enough, we don't have enough houses for them. Well, of course we don't have enough houses for them. You can't forecast housing demand on the basis of, putting your finger in the wind and figuring how many are going to cross the channel next year. You can't do that. That's impossible. So, you know, I do understand about the fact that, even the word greenbelt itself is a bit misleading. Some greenbelt isn't green. I can tell you a few personal stories here. I remember way back, now I'm going back probably 25 years ago or more, when I was a young, bushy-eyed optimist. I remember getting involved in local council issues concerning planning. And, I wasn't a councillor, but I was politically active and involved, and I got to see how they build their 5-year plans, their 10-year zoning plans and all of that. And my main conclusion was it's utterly corrupt. It's completely corrupt, the process. There's all kinds of shady influences upon it, that, and I want nothing to do with that. So I think the planning process that we have, you know, the areas that are zoned, the areas that aren't zoned, they can have a massive financial impact towards certain parties anyway. And it's something that revolted me. So I think the planning process is corrupt and immoral and indecent. And I don't think it really wants to take into consideration some of the needs of some groups, but it will take into consideration the needs of other groups. Now, there is a point that says that, you know, some of the so-called green belt isn't really green. And in fact, it's de facto brown. And therefore, if you reclassified some of those non-green elements, well, that would provide the facility to build hundreds of thousands of homes without defacing our green and pleasant land. Yeah, I understand that as well. My problem is not so much the fact that we could build many more houses, many hundreds of thousands of more houses, but are we building the means of our own demographic demise would be my question. You have to ask the question, who are the houses for? See, that's an awkward question, because the houses that we build tomorrow, who will be living in them the day after that? Will they be people that are recognisably British like you and I? Oh, what do you mean, David Vance? Are you saying only white people can be British? No, I'm not. But I'm saying that people who are born and bred in Britain are by definition British. You know, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to work that one out. And their numbers are dwindling. So if anything, we need less houses. But of course, that ignores the reality of the government bringing in, what, a million extra people a year, illegal migrants. Well, if you bring in that number in, yeah, of course, you are creating all kinds of problems and you're absolutely accelerating a housing crisis. But it's a housing crisis that you yourself are causing by virtue of the fact that you will not limit the number of people coming into this country. And therefore, yes, the rule of the iron law of supply and demand kicks in. And because there's not enough houses to go around, the price of the existing housing stock goes through the roof. That makes it unaffordable for many young people. They can't get on the housing market. But meanwhile, if you, for example, are someone who comes here claiming asylum, well, then government has an obligation to find you a house. So you have this bizarre irony where some of the people finding accommodation are people who shouldn't even be here. But the government has an obligation to find them accommodations, whereas people who actually live here who want to get accommodations, young 30-year-olds, for example, they can't. So do you see how twisted it up? Yes, there is a housing crisis. I accept there's a housing crisis. But as I said in the headline to this podcast, the housing crisis isn't what you think it is. And they're trying to misdirect you into this by ignoring the elephant in the room. And that is the huge tsunami of people coming into this country year in, year out. Can't be planned for. It's causing all kinds of societal problems. And there's little political will to deal with it. Thanks for listening.